I don't ever concern myself to actually say, how can I influence influencers? All I do is I just trust that occasionally some of those people will have influence in the lives of others. We all have influence in the lives of others.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of Pop. This is your host, Adam A. Adams, and I'm pretty stoked because somebody that I've looked up to for a long time, and a lot of people in the podcasting space have also looked up to him. I think he's coached lots and lots and lots of people to be better at podcasting. Cliff, you'll have to give us that number. Isn't it like thousands of...
I'm responsible for over 40,000 people launching their podcast.
40,000 people. That's amazing. And how did you find that out, by the way? Like, well, how did you put a number on it?
Yeah. So the way that I put the number on it is this. So first of all, personally, one-on-one, well over 1,000 of them. I coached through a program called Podcasting A to Z through a 4-week program. A couple hundred of them, I personally trained one-on-one just as a direct coach without a group coaching program. And the rest all came from a free tutorial that I launched on my website, learnhowtopodcast.com. And of course, that tutorial is way out of date these days, but it was just a calculation of the average person who watches the video goes all the way down to video number 8 of 8. And then, of course, the number of people who said, listen, if it wasn't for you teaching me how to podcast, it's well over 39,000 people who have gone through all of those tutorials. But I would say that it's a safe estimate that over 40,000 people would not be podcasting today had it not been for me.
I love that. And I'm sure you do too. So
you love it.
You've got more than one show. You've got the Cliff Ravenscraft show, which was rebranded. You have the podcast Answer Man, which recently relaunched as we're recording this. So I know there's a couple of episodes out currently. And then I believe that there was another podcast that was like, I don't think it was the Entrepreneur Answer Man, but Mindset Answer Man. Where am I going with that?
Well, I'll tell you what. I started podcasting as a hobby in December 2005. And the very first podcast I ever launched, it was called Generally Speaking, because I didn't believe anybody would want to hear me talk about anything. I'm like, who am I to have a podcast? So at the time, I was already completely obsessed with listening to podcast content. And I listened to podcasts about technology. I listened to podcasts about faith, about television shows, about everything that I was interested in. So what happened was I was blogging about the TV show Lost, and I was subscribed to 5 different podcasts devoted to the TV show Lost. I loved all of the mystery and the hidden clues, the Easter eggs. It's like, there is so much more to this show than just watching it. If you know, you know. And so I was blogging about it, and I came up with something called the Thomas Theory. And my blog, first of all, I was pretty proud of my Thomas Theory. And I was listening to Ryan and Jenna Zawa, who had the Transmission Lost podcast, and they asked for audio feedback. So I recorded a 3.5-minute audio file explaining my Thomas Theory. And I said, hey, if you come to my website at ravenscraft.org, you can see screenshots where I prove everything. It's all laid out for you. And so I sent this audio file over to them, and my voice was played in a podcast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is the most amazing thing in the world. There are thousands of people all over the world who just heard my voice for 3.5 minutes. Now, I had been blogging at this point since 1997, and my blog usually averaged maybe 200-300 hits per month, right? Unique visitors. And all of a sudden, now I'm getting tens of thousands of people around the world. And the reason why is not just the people who heard me on Ryan and Jen's podcast, but some of the people who heard me on Ryan and Jen's podcast was Entertainment Weekly. So EW.com wrote an article on their website about my Thomas theory and linked back to my site, completely shut me off the internet. Account suspended, bandwidth exceeded. For a written blog text website, right? So it was, that's how I got started. And Ryan and Jen said, listen, you should create your own podcast. And, you know, we're getting lots of people said they'd love to hear more from you. And so I didn't need a lot of encouragement at the time. It's like, I was already super excited about the technology. So I went out and got a $35 headset microphone with a little plastic boom off to the side. And I plugged it in and I said, hey, welcome to the Generally Speaking podcast. My name's Cliff Ravenscraft. Here's my idea for a show. I know hardly anybody's going to be interested in hearing me talk about anything. You know, what would I talk about? The TV show Lost? Well, there's already 5 podcasts out there and I get most of my information from them. So, you know, I'm a secondary source at best. I could talk about technology, but I mean, hello, this is podcasting. The only people really podcasting today are people who are early adopters to technology, and everybody out there, that you're going to get so much more technology from them. And then faith stuff, I mean, come on, Christian radio broadcasters, I hold nothing over them. So here's what I'm going to do. My first show, or my only show I have here, it's called Generally Speaking. I'm going to talk about the top 3 things I'm most interested in, the TV show Lost, technology, or faith. That's what this podcast is going to be devoted to. But I recognize that not everybody's going to be interested in hearing me talk about all 3 of those things. So here's how I'm going to keep it straight for you. The episode will say episode 001, and then it'll say hyphen Lost, hyphen, and then the title. And so one, if you see the after the episode number, if you see Lost or Faith or Technology, you'll know what I'm talking about in that episode. And in this first episode, I'm going to just talk about the show Lost. Now that I've got the introduction out of the way, here's my thoughts about how I got into the TV show Lost. I put the first episode out just explaining all of that. And I'm thinking, you know, if I get 5 people to download this thing, this will be pretty exciting. Well, I had over 500 people download it within 24 hours. And Adam, I did not anticipate hearing, and I mean, I'm a guy in Northern Kentucky. Nobody's ever heard of Cliff Ravenscraft outside of Northern Kentucky before. I'm getting all these emails from people saying, Cliff, oh my gosh, I love your podcast. The only thing is though, can you just do a show only devoted to Lost? I could care less about technology. I certainly don't want to hear you rambling on about your faith. And I'm like, okay. You know, some people might get a little upset or offended by that, but I'm not. I'm like, hey, my wife is the one who introduced me into the show Lost anyway. And I asked her if she wanted to podcast with me. She's thinking this is just a hobby he'll be excited about for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And this is a passing fade, just like some of his other passions. And she said, sure. So the very next week, I went out and found a way for her and I to record together. And I said, hey, everybody, welcome back to the weekly Lost edition of the Generally Speaking Podcast Network. So I knew then I was going to create a technology podcast. I was going to create a faith podcast. I was going to create all kinds of podcasts. But this was the Lost Podcast, which, by the way, is still available at lostpodcast.com. And I think we did maybe close to 300 episodes of that show. And that show, by the way, the 5 podcasts about the TV show Lost that were already in existence, they all had their own independent podcast feeds. But this was back in the day when Blogger was just purchased by Google, and we all shared, or they all shared, a single Google account, a single Google blog called the Lost Podcast Network. So what happened was everybody created their podcast episode, put it on their own website in their own RSS feed, but they also syndicated or created a copy of the show notes on Blogger for the Lost Podcast Network and put their MP3 file there as well. So imagine the 5 podcasts already existing in Lost. All of them had their own independent podcasts in their feeds, but they all also shared a feed called the Lost Podcast Network. Hey, this show is a part of the Lost Podcast Network. You can go to lostpodcastnetwork.com and which sent you over to Blogger, and you can subscribe to the Lost Podcast Network, and that will give you every episode of every podcast devoted to the TV show Lost. After our second, my second podcast episode of the Lost Podcast, those guys reached out to me and says, Cliff and Stephanie, do you want to be a part of the Lost Podcast Network? And I said, well, what does that mean? They said, you can just simply copy your episodes and put them here as well. And I'm like, awesome. Adam, my third podcast that I ever produced, 27,000 downloads. For that episode.
Oh, wow.
Episode 3 downloaded 27,000 times within 1 week.
And that's because you're part of that network?
Because of that network.
That's cool.
A couple hundred downloads came from my feed. The other 26,000 whatever came from the Lost Podcast Network feed. Lost was a huge deal. There weren't many podcasts. There's a few hundred podcasts in existence. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got started. So then that was the Lost Podcast. Then I created a show called My Crazy Life to answer a bunch of personal questions people were asking me. You put out 27,000 people listening to your show and stuff like that. People send you all sorts of really weird questions via email. And I wanted to talk about them, but I knew that people who downloaded the podcast for the TV show Lost, they're not going to want to hear about all this other random stuff. So I created a podcast called My Crazy Life, which, by the way, later was rebranded to Pursuing a Balanced Life, because I figured more people would be interested in hearing a podcast called Pursuing a Balanced Life than My Crazy Life, when it's like, well, whose crazy life is it? And why would I want to hear anybody's podcast about their crazy life? That sounds stupid. I got my own crazy life. So anyway, but I created my second podcast, was called My Crazy Life. And it was just me talking about anything that people asked me questions about. It was my version of Generally Speaking again, right? Well, then a lot of people started asking me faith-based questions. And I knew that not everybody who wanted to listen to My Crazy Life wanted to hear me talk about faith. So I created a podcast, which my third podcast was called About the Church, which, by the way, was later rebranded to Encouraging Others Through Christ. Get this theme of rebranding with me? So now my first podcast was Generally Speaking, rebranded to The Lost Podcast. My second podcast was My Crazy Life, later rebranded to Pursuing a Balanced Life. My third podcast, originally About the Church, rebranded to Encouraging Others Through Christ. So now I have three podcasts. My fourth podcast, by the way, was a music podcast called Musically Challenged, because I can't carry a note to sing. I can't play a single tune on an instrument of any nature whatsoever. And so I considered myself to be musically challenged, but I have a very eclectic music taste and I know what I like and stuff like that. And they had this thing called a PodSafe Music Network back in the day. And Adam Curry put this together with some other people. And it's like, hey, you can download free music from these independent artists and you can share their music and talk about the songs that you like. So my fourth podcast was Musically Challenged. Now, I'm putting out several podcast episodes a week, and after 1 year of podcasting, one of the most popular questions I get is, Cliff, can you help me figure out how to launch a podcast? And I'm like, well, sure. And so I started helping people for free, and people said, Cliff, you've got to let me pay you for this. I mean, this is incredible. So I started letting people pay me for it and like that. And before I know it, I'm making a couple $100 a month. Before I know it, I'm making a couple $1,000 a month teaching people how to podcast. So my fifth podcast was launched 1 year after I started podcasting as a hobby. And it was called Podcast Answer Man. All right. So that's what got everything started. In that first episode, I said, listen, I've been podcasting for a year. I don't claim as the Podcast Answer Man to have all of the answers, but here's what I can tell you. You'll be hard pressed to find anyone who is as passionate about podcasting as me. And if I don't have the answer, I'll figure out the answer and we'll get you the answers you're looking for related to podcasting. And I said in that first episode, man, I think about this. And I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if in the next 5 to 10 years, I was able to generate enough money from a podcast coaching and consulting business to allow me to leave my career as an insurance agent in a family-run insurance agency owned by my mom and dad that was started by my grandfather, and I'm next in line to take it over. But man, if I could find a way doing what I'm doing through podcasting, not teaching people how to podcast, but doing what I'm doing through podcasting, creating content that's entertaining, educational, encouraging, and inspirational, and changing people's lives with my voice. Wow. If I could do that in the next 5 to 10 years and leave my day job, that'd be awesome. Well, little did I know that 9 months later, because I launched Podcast Answer Man, I'd be putting my 90-day notice in. And so 2 years of podcasting as a hobby, I then left my career as an insurance agent and I became a full-time podcaster and podcast coach and consultant.
That's a lot. I have a question on, you said you started your fifth podcast about a year after that first podcast. The first one was like December of 05. So when was that? Was it like December of 06 that you started Podcast Answer Man?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was one year later, December 2006, I launched my fifth podcast, which, by the way, since December 2005, I've launched over 40 different podcast shows. And I've produced over 4,500 podcast episodes. These are my shows. These are not.
You've had 40.
I've had over 40.
And how many run today?
8 are currently in production right now.
But could I find the rest if I just typed it in?
Go to gspn.tv.
gspn.tv. That'll be in the show notes. I've got a lot of thoughts. What is the Thomas theory, if you can give me a short version of that?
Were you into the TV show Lost?
No.
I never was. It will not make any sense to you at all.
Okay.
But here's what I will just say. For anybody who was into the show, Thomas was Claire's boyfriend. Claire becomes pregnant. All right. And we get to see her tell Thomas about the baby. And he's like, oh, we can do this. And she's like, what, on my $5 an hour fish and fry job? He goes, no, Claire, we can do this. Well, while they're having this argument and Thomas is like saying, listen, I can be a dad. We can make this work. And Claire's like, I don't know. In the background, you see he's an artist. And you see these murals all throughout the apartment. Now, fast forward or go back to some of the screen captures of what we call the hatch where Desmond is found. And you see a mural painted on the wall of the hatch underground this mysterious island. That mural on the wall is exactly the same style as the murals in Thomas's apartment. In fact, screen capture side by side, you'll see exact elements like the fonts used in numbers inside of the mural are the same and some of the other elements and items within them. And I show proving, and my theory was that Thomas used to be stationed in the hatch where Desmond is. He used to actually work for Dharma. He painted that mural while he was there. He also injected himself with the same kind of whatever that Desmond was injecting himself with. He made an agreement that he would never have children. And when Claire became pregnant, he's like, listen, we're not going to tell anybody about this, but I'm going to make this work. This is awesome. Well, Claire goes to see Dr. Richard Malkin, who is a clairvoyant, you know, guy who reads your future and all this other stuff. And he's like, oh my gosh, you must not let this baby be raised by an other, which was the name of the Dharma Initiative people from the island. You can't let them be raised by the others. And the whole thing is like Dharma finds out there's some kind of mysterious thing and they send people to Richard Malkin. It's like, listen, you clearly have tapped into the universal consciousness here and we recognize that you're aware of a child that is, you know, that belongs to us. They're the intellectual property of us, if you will. And so now all of a sudden, Dr. Richard Malkin's trying to get Claire back in. They're like threatening him and his wife and his family, and he's like, you must put this baby up for an adoption. They set up an adoption with two people, which happens to be Penny, who is Desmond's girlfriend. And I know this because there's a picture of Desmond and Penny on his fireplace or on the mantle. And it is the same woman who plays the lady who's going to adopt Claire's baby. Later, Thomas in another scene says, you know, you've got to get out of my life. You go blah, 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 blah. And he seems like a deadbeat, you know, boyfriend, dad, whatever, and stuff. And he's really, he's actually been approached by Dharma. He doesn't think they know about her and can't find her. So he basically ends the relationship in such a way that she'll never want to continue on. I have all of this documented, by the way. And I am convinced that I was right. So much so that the writers of the show, Damon and producers of the show, Damon and Carlton mentioned my Thomas theory in the official Lost podcast put out by Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. And I'm convinced they went to the writers and forced them to change the story. So much so that they changed the actress who would then play Penny, Desmond's girlfriend. And when you go back and get the DVD release later, you can actually take the same screen capture of Desmond and his girlfriend, Penny, and it's a different actress. They actually went in post-production and changed that scene in the DVD release. It's wild.
Wow. Okay. Let's jump into podcasting.
I told you. You got to be careful what you ask me, because I'll go down some rabbit trails.
With the 40,000 people that have been able to start a podcast because they've been part of your coaching, your one-on-ones, your online course, the 4 week of courses, why did they choose you? And I want to ask, like, you know how they say, do the 6 levels of why, go deeper. What I'm curious on is, what made them choose you over anyone else who might have been able to help them with a podcast? Where did they find you? Those types of background.
So first off, most of those who went through my podcasting A to Z, which is the 4 week group training program, it was a $2,000 course, by the way. So imagine you could go learn how to podcast in a weekend on your own for free on Google or YouTube, or a number of other free tutorials, or even my own free tutorial at learnhowtopodcast.com back in the day, right? So you could go through and do it all on your own for free, or you could sign up and go through a $2,000 podcasting A to Z course with me. So the question is, why would somebody go through a $2,000 4 week course with me? They value their time. That's all I can say, is most of them chose to do it because they value the time. And they had come to know, like, and trust me through a number of different ways that says, I believe Cliff Ravenscraft is going to help me get further, faster, in the most efficient way possible. This guy has already produced thousands of hours worth of content himself. And if I could just have access to ask all of my questions for 4 weeks, every question, and he instantly answers everything directly for me, I don't have to go out and search 100 different questions I have. I can ask Cliff 100 questions in 4 weeks, and I got answers to everything specifically. That's why they did it. So a couple of things that happened for me that just were massive blessings. I can't claim to have orchestrated them, but some of the people that I trained how to podcast would be Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income. He already had hundreds of thousands of people following him. We had Michael Hyatt from michaelhyatt.com. At the time, he was one of the world's most popular entrepreneurial blogs in the space. He had just written a New York Times bestselling book called Platform, How to Get Noticed in a Noisy World. Go to michaelhyatt.com, click on his blog search button, and type in the name Cliff Ravenscraft. And I think it's like 13 blog posts promoting me. I was also, I taught personally, one-on-one, coached him on how to launch his podcast. Out of the first 100 podcast episodes, I was mentioned over 30 different episodes. So imagine somebody who has a New York Times best-selling book, and people find out about his podcast, and you hear the name Cliff Ravenscraft more than 30 times out of the first 100 weeks of the podcast. Those people are like, oh, I guess if I'm going to learn how to podcast, which, by the way, Michael Hyatt says, here's how you build your platform. Get a podcast is a great way. Cliff Ravenscraft is your guy. So I had that. I mean, and of course, I've worked with Amy Porterfield and Michael Stelzner from Social Media Examiner. So I taught John Lee Dumas and all these other folks. I've been very blessed to have a lot of people who have grown, either already had massive influence way before they ever met me, or people who grew a massive amount of influence after I personally taught them. And when those people said, hey, how did you learn how to podcast? How did you get into this? I mean, John Lee Dumas just put out the book, The Common Path to Uncommon Success. And I think I mentioned in this book two or three times. I mean, it's years later, more than a decade later. So that's how it happened.
How about when I think about somebody having influence over 40,000, one of the things that you're mentioning is basically leveraging the shoulders of giants, other people that are already have a platform, and you've been able to really connect with them, support them, and they've promoted you. And I think that's one huge thing that all of us can take away from that. Like, we may not possibly be able to support Amy Porterfield and I guess I'm name dropping you, but JLD or who's the other one that you said, Pat Flynn, and a couple of others who may have already had like a following maybe before they worked with you. And I really believe that that's one thing that can really help, and maybe something for the listener that can support us if that's what we're trying to do. I found that joining masterminds are a great way of finding other people that are well connected and be able to do that. But also wanted to find out what else may have gotten you to the next level so fast. One thing could be that you started in 2005 when podcasts were brand new. So you're one of the first, and anybody who is going there, they're going to see your podcast. We can't really copy that now, but what can the rest of us copy to get influence over 40,000 people that want to pay us $2,000?
So first of all, I would caution anybody about having the goal of wanting to have influence over 40,000 people. Instead, I would just have a desire to be of influence over anyone. And because you will never know who you're going to have influence over. That's the key that always drove me. I didn't go out seeking Pat Flynn's and Michael Hyatt's and John Lee Dumas's and Amy Porterfield's and Michael Stelzner's and all these other people of the world. They came to me because I was already influencing people. Each one of those people heard about me from somebody else that I influenced. So I want you to imagine this. A Pat Flynn heard about me from someone who I influenced, who probably has influence over no more than 10 people. Mm-hmm. It just might have been that Pat Flynn was one of those 10. Do you see where I'm coming from? So
I do.
So that's the big mindset shift I want people to have. I always have, my message has always been, never focus on the numbers. You know, just focus on being you and being of value and being of service. If you could just focus on that, everything else will fall into alignment with whatever's meant to happen for you. Now, you can actually go and create things in this world, and there are things that you can do to influence and grow your show, right? And there's going to be people out there like that to help you. But for me, I like to say, grow the host, you know, grow you, be intentional about who you are, where you add value. And I'm always about creating content where I don't care how many people download the show. All I care about is, am I creating content that makes me come alive? And I will tell you, if there are many podcasts, as a matter of fact, there's a podcast that I have today. It's called Train with Cliff. It's the only premium podcast that I have at trainwithcliff.com. It's $10 a month to have access to it. I hardly ever promote it. I mean, I'm shocked that I just promoted it here. But the thing is, it has 54 or 60 subscribers paying $10 a month. And it's my favorite podcast that I produce. And I think I'll be close to 300 episodes here soon. So I don't necessarily consider myself like, oh man, this isn't getting a lot of influence. I don't care about that. The people I'm influencing, can I get them to go out and influence one other person? And the other thing is that occasionally somebody who does have influence realizes that what you're doing is special and unique, and they really resonate with it. And if you're doing what makes you come alive and people are like, man, I really dig what you're doing, then all of a sudden that's when people start talking about you. And so I don't ever concern myself to actually say, how can I influence influencers? All I do is, how can I just influence people? And I just trust that occasionally some of those people will have influence in the lives of others. We all have influence in the lives of others. Some just have influence in the lives of 5 to 10, 15, 20, 30 people. And occasionally somebody might come along who has influence over 500,000 people or 1.5 million people, as some of my listeners do.
Yeah, that's, I like that a lot. You mentioned being unique and special and having content that makes you come alive. And one of the podcasts that you had started, I think it was like your third podcast, you said, as you were creating the podcast, you didn't want to be, oh, it was the Lost. It was Lost. You said, I don't want to just have be a secondary source at best for Lost, right? You didn't want to just be regurgitating what you had heard on those other podcasts, because that just wasn't good enough to you. And now you're talking about creating content that makes you come alive. And I'm thinking, when you took a monologue about Thomas Theory a few minutes back, you had lots of passion and excitement as you were going through that, right? And it was special and it was a unique twist, because it's something that you're the only one who had that thought or that impression. So two questions on this. One is, how important is it for us as newer podcasters to being unique and special and not being a secondary source? So first off, how important is it? And secondly, if it's important at all, how do we get there?
Okay, so I am going to say it's equally important for you to be unique and absolutely unimportant altogether for you to be unique. And I'll explain what I mean by that. First of all, it's important for you to be unique. But the thing is, you can't not be unique. I'm going to stick a pin in that, come right back to it. But let me explain to you, I love that you mirrored back what you heard me say with that very first episode. And this is why I'm the mindset answer man today, because I expressed to you what my mindset was at the time when I published my very first podcast episode. No, you heard me say, nobody's going to want to hear me talk in a podcast. Who on earth would want to hear me talk about Lost? Everything that I know about Lost, I pretty much get from somebody else. All right. So nobody's going to, those are what we call limiting beliefs. All right. And that belief could have limited me. Now, thankfully, people reached out and says, Cliff, you're wrong about what you said in your episode. You said nobody would want to hear you talk about Lost because most of what you get, it comes from another source and you're just sharing what you've heard and what you've learned. Do you not understand that I don't subscribe to those other five podcasts? I listen to a couple of them. And quite frankly, I don't like the quirkiness of so-and-so and so-and-so. And I don't like just the monotone of this person's voice. And I don't spend hours reading online forums like the Fuselage. But you know what? I love your voice. And I love the crazy banter between you and your wife. So yes, I want to hear from you, because if I don't hear from you, I will never hear that. I don't care where you got your information from. So this is one of the biggest things that I had learned in the very early stages, that I don't have to come up with unique ideas that have never been thought of before. It's not the Thomas Theory that made me successful. It's the fact that I had the courage to talk about something that I was passionate about, regardless if I'm just saying, hey, I just read where so-and-so wrote this in his blog, and here's what he said, and here's what I think about it. That's all I have to do. Now, the thing is the uniqueness is, number one, my unique vibrational tone of my voice. There are some people that really just like to hear me talk. It sounds crazy, but that's it. There are just as many people, maybe even more, that are absolutely like, oh my gosh, I can't stand that Cliff Ravenscraft's voice, which is why podcasting is great. You know, I'll tell you another area where this came in. I'm a huge fan of Tony Robbins. You know who Tony Robbins is, I'm sure. So I've invested thousands of hours in studying Tony Robbins materials. I've got probably about $10,000 invested in going to his conferences and stuff like that. I've been massively influenced by this guy. And I had this, it's like, man, I wonder if I could do life in such a way where I help people the way that Tony does. What if I had my own conference where people came and they had major mindset breakthroughs that forever transformed their life? What if I could actually do audio programs where people would not listen to me about the technical answers to podcasting, but about mindset related stuff that I could actually help them change the way they see the world by teaching them how their mind works and how to make their mind work for them instead of them working for their mind. And I'm like, but you know, why would any, I mean, most, okay, I would say at least 85% of personal development stuff that I've learned from Tony Robbins. And believe it or not, it's like, why would anyone want to hear me talk about how to control your mindset and your emotional state and you can achieve anything and here's a way to achieve success and how to achieve any goal? I just learned all this, most of this stuff from Tony. And do you want to know something? I started listening to Tony's materials and he starts talking about Jim Rohn, who was his mentor. And one day I saw that I could buy some old Jim Rohn materials. Lo and behold, I'm sitting there watching about 3 hours worth of Jim Rohn's teaching. And wait a second, I learned that from Tony learned that from Jim Rohn. And here's the thing, Jim Rohn says, and what I'm teaching you here, I learned from my mentor, Earl Schoaf, I think was his name. And then I read the book Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And it's like, wait a second, about 30% of this book is what Tony's teaching. But this book was written in the 60s. And I'm like, wait, okay. If Tony can take this information from other people and then share it, and here's what I can tell you. Earl Schoaf, I went and found some stuff. It's like, that stuff's way too old. Jim Rohn, I actually purchased some stuff, and Jim Rohn likes to talk like this over and over again. And it's like, oh my gosh, if I bought an audiobook to listen on a 4.5-hour road trip, and I got about an hour in, and I'm like, okay, I need a break from Jim Rohn's voice. But I could listen to Tony Robbins for, what, thousands of hours, because I've proven that. And I'm like, oh, then it clicked. I don't have to be original with my ideas. I just need to bring my approach to it. And I'm not going to take their transcripts and read it. I'm going to take what they've taught, I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to then go and share with the world what I've learned from Tony, which he learned from Jim, which he learned from Earl. I'm just going to share what I've learned. I'm going to share my experience, and then I'm going to teach it in my own unique way. And that's all it is. And that's what I did with Lost. And occasionally, I come up with a unique idea that is my own. The Thomas Theory, unique Cliff Ravenscraft trademark. All right. But most everything I've ever taught in this world is not unique to me. It's things that I've read in books, things that I've learned from other people, but I've applied it, processed it, and then taught it in my own unique way. And so that's what I'm saying. Number one, you do not have to have a unique idea. You just need to actually understand that you are unique. Here's what I can say. There are going to be some people in this world who will never, in the million years, if they lived a million years on this planet, that would ever want to hear Tony Robbins speak for more than 10 minutes. But they might love listening to me talk. And I've had people say, Cliff, I stop giving, you know, like, oh my gosh, you can go get this from Tony. Just tell me, because I'm going to hear it from you. That's why I listen to you. And they're like, I can't stand how much he curses or this or that, or his gravelly voice because he's lost his voice over the years. You know, but man, just teach. I love listening to you. And so I eventually shut down Podcast Answer Man, rebranded after 438 episodes of Podcast Answer Man. I took that show feed and called it the Cliff Ravenscraft Show, where I told everybody, I've said, this is me putting my line in the sand. I'm no longer the Podcast Answer Man. I am now the Mindset Answer Man. And I shut down all of my podcast training courses and everything. And I said, now my products and services are going to be related to online business, mindset. I'm going to launch a conference called the Free the Dream Conference, which you can learn about at freethedreamconference.com. You can go check out my Next Level Mastermind, where we can help you take your business to the next level, or my one-on-one coaching. I'll do workshops here on how to build an online business. Those are the things that I'm going to do now. And it's like, this all doesn't have to be unique information that I have created. I can just take everything that I've assimilated and be a curator of all of that information from my own teaching style in my own unique voice.
A lot. I do have one last place that I want to go with you. And it is because you've rebranded so many different podcasts. You've had so many different podcasts. And want to figure out, like, do we have permission to rebrand our podcasts? How do we know if we're supposed to rebrand our podcasts or keep it?
Yeah, you can submit, if you're thinking about that, you can submit an application to cliff@cliffravenscraft.com. Tell me about what your current podcast is, what you want to rebrand it to. I'll review it. Takes about 4 to 6 weeks, and then I'll let you know whether or not you have approval.
Okay. That's not what I expected you to say.
So, Adam, everybody has permission to let me just say this. Forget about your podcast for just a second. You have my permission to rebrand your personality. You have my permission to rebrand your identity in this world. You need no one's permission. Go do whatever makes you come alive.
And how do we know if it's the right move or if we're losing out on some listeners that wanted that first thing more than they want the next one?
Yeah, here's what I will tell you. No matter what you decide to do, you will lose out on opportunities because your opportunities are endless in every direction you go. If there's something you want to do and you've got option A or option B, you choose option A, there are opportunities that are going to come with that. But there would have been opportunities with option B. And if you choose option A, some of those opportunities in option B are no longer going to be yours. But if you choose option B, there are going to be opportunities that certainly come with that. And there would have been opportunities with option A. But if you went with B, you're going to miss out. Get rid of this FOMO world that we live in. Stop fearing. Just live. The whole purpose of life is to live, to create. Go make your path in this world. Do something that makes you come alive. Howard Thurman was this, I think he was a preacher back in the 1960s. And one of my favorite quotes is this: don't ask what the world needs. Instead, ask what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs most are people who have become fully alive. So I can tell you, right? Let me just tell you, when I had Podcast Answer Man at its height, very niche podcast, every episode was pretty much technical questions answered related to podcasting. At its height, it had about 15,000 subscribers. It wasn't a super large show compared to my entertainment podcasts, but 15,000 podcasters. Now, you think about who are the most influential people out of all of my audiences of all of my shows. The average podcaster had at least 100 subscribers, and most of them had thousands of subscribers, and then a handful had hundreds or tens of thousands of subscribers. And I had 10 or 15 people listen to the Podcast Answer Man that had hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Now, that was my audience, but I became dead inside every week after a decade of answering technical questions related to podcasting. As you can tell, what makes me come alive? Mindset stuff. Do you see how every time you've asked me anything technical related to podcasting, I flip the switch and go into mindset? And what was happening is Podcast Answer Man, it's the Cliff Ravenscraft show, the original Podcast Answer Man. I think it's still hovering right around a 4.8 on a 5-star scale. But I was starting to get 1- and 2-star reviews for Podcast Answer Man. Like, listen, this is bait and switch. The show's called Podcast Answer Man, but this guy's always talking about himself, his business, what he's learning about mindset and what his goals are and what his dreams are, how to achieve your dreams. He doesn't talk about podcasting hardly at all anymore. And, you know, it's like, man, it's like, do you know how many years I've poured into answering your technical questions? And finally, I was like, okay, I could just leave this podcast here and I could go create another show called The Cliff Ravenscraft Show. And just leave this here. And I had a lot of people suggest that I should do that. Well, here's what I've known. I've done a number of different podcasts. Let's just say I have 15,000 subscribers to Podcast Answer Man. And I want to go and just leave this here. I might pick it up again later. Who knows? But right now, what I want to do is I want to create the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. Now, let's just say that 5,000 of those 15,000 would be interested in my new show. You following me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I know for a fact, because I've done this with other shows before. If I would have did 2 or 3 episodes and say, hey, I want you to go subscribe to my new podcast, The Cliff Ravenscraft Show. If 5,000 of the 15,000 would have been interested in my new show and going along with me weekly, about 1,500 of the 5,000 would have subscribed to my new show. This is hard facts. All right. But do you know what I did instead, Adam? I changed the name of the show from Podcast Answer Man to The Cliff Ravenscraft Show. It took about 9 months, but I lost 10,000 subscribers. The show dropped all the way down to 5,000 subscribers. Did I make a mistake? Heck no, I didn't make a mistake. If I would have went with The Cliff Ravenscraft Show as a new show, I would have missed out on 3,500 subscribers. And you know what? I have 5,000 subscribers of The Cliff Ravenscraft Show, and I'd rather talk to those people than the ones who just bailed along the way. Now, could I have done more with the blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I could have made millions of dollars every year for the last couple of years if I would just have a self-study podcasting course. I don't worry about what options and ideas and potentials and possibilities. Man, if we sit there and weigh ourselves down too heavily with what am I missing out on if I go do this thing I most want to do in this world that's in alignment with what I feel called to do, then all of a sudden, man, why am I even living if I'm just going to be weighed down by all of this stuff? So I am like, listen, let me just make a decision, go for it. If it's a mistake, it's a mistake. I'll learn from that mistake. But here's the little side note. I recently, just this past Saturday, relaunched a brand new, all new version of Podcast Answer Man. There are 2 new episodes, episode 1 and episode 2 of Podcast Answer Man. And people, like, if you look at facebook.com/Cliff Ravenscraft, I just announced it on Saturday right after I published it. In the comment section, there are 3 people who said, oh my gosh, I just heard the opening, the original Podcast Answer Man theme music, and you're using the same tagline to open up the show as you did before. It brought me to tears. I am so glad you're back. And I'm like, and you know what? This thing will easily get to that 15,000 subscribers again. Matter of fact, I have no doubt in my mind that it will blow way beyond 15,000 subscribers.
There's a lot there, and I think that we can leave that with the listener. I'd love to have you back on the show again. There's quite a bit that we could probably delve into and discuss, and I know you could pour into new podcasters. So you've got tons of shows. You'll be sending them all to me, and if you're listening right now, those shows, the links to that we discussed today, all of his shows, they're in our show notes. So just scroll down and you can click on any one of those links and be over to Cliff's websites or podcasts. Go check him out wherever you're checking this out. He just adds so much value to so many people. And I appreciate your time, Cliff, just jumping in. We talked about a few things. I'll try to wrap up a few. The Thomas Theory, boom. That was fun. 40,000 people that you've helped. Rebranding many of your podcasts over and over and over, and giving us the permission to rebrand, to open our minds to this and the new way of thinking, like, don't be afraid of what you might be missing out. Just make a decision and go for it. I think that is something that's going to help a lot of us. Talking about there was one thing that I missed, and I hope you can give it to us one more time. You said that you try to make sure your podcasts are 4 things: entertaining, encouraging, something, and inspirational. What was that other one that I missed?
It's entertaining, educational, and encouraging content that makes a difference. Oh, and inspirational. Entertaining, educational, encouraging, and inspirational. I don't care what I'm talking about. The question is by the time you finish listening to this episode, were you entertained? Second, did you learn anything? Did you feel a sense of encouragement? Man, I feel a sense of hope and stuff like that. And then the most important one to me, were you inspired to do something about what you learned?
Yeah. Love it. All right. With that said, I enjoyed this. I always enjoy like you as a person, who you are and the type of content you put out. It's good meeting you in person at that last event. And I hope to see you at the next one as well. Hope to get back on this show. And I'm going to let you go. Thank you, Adam, for rocking it.
Anytime you want to chat, man, just reach out to me. We'll schedule another one.
Awesome. Bye for now. Two quick things before you go. Number one, if you are looking to upgrade like your podcast equipment or just get your very first affordable microphone, then go to growyourshow.com/PDF. That link's in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down. On that PDF is 100% equipment for your podcasting studio that I've personally vetted. My team has vetted this. We know that it works. We know that it's affordable, and we don't want you paying more for your podcasting equipment. So again, if you're looking to upgrade your equipment or get your very first inexpensive microphone that works great, that's where you go. And then number two is, got a free course, A to Z, on everything you need to know about podcasting, and you don't have to go anywhere but the podcast in order to access it. You don't have to even give me an email address to access it. It is just the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So what you'll do is you'll scroll down a bit, you'll click on all episodes and scroll down, because we're hundreds of episodes in, and you'll see the episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is a free course from A to Z on launching a top podcast. Take advantage of those two things. I'll see you on the next episode.